Ksuvos per Gimel Mishnah Dalad 3-4. And now the Mishnah introduces the related topic of the mefate. Mefate means the one who seduced a girl to sleep with him. And this is based on other psukim back in Parshas Mishpatim, say for Shmos. It's Shmos Pasuk Tesvav of Perek Chav Beis 22:15. There the Pasuk says, V'chi yifate ish besula asher lo orasa v'shachav ima. If a man is mifate, Rash learns mifate means to sweet talk. The Ramban learns it means to trick her, but he induces one or the other to sleep with him, and she consents to it. And this is a basula. She never slept with a man before. Asher lo arasa, she's also not engaged, meaning erisin, the first step of marriage, legally married, because if she is already legally married, so then he sleeps with her, there'll be a capital crime. And we said that, because of what we said before, kamle bederabmine, there wouldn't be a fine. But here we have a fine because she is a totally she's an unmarried besula, and she's a nara. So then, mahor yimharena lo leisha. So then he will marry her, according to Rashi, means giving her like a ksuba, a marriage contract, to marry her, to be his wife. Im ma'en yima'en avia lasita lo. Now, if her father refuses to let them get married, so then, instead of him giving her a ksuba, kesef yishkol kamohar habasulos, then he will pay him an amount of silver. The seducer will pay the father of this nara the amount of silver that will be measured out for the normal mohar habasulos, the normal like dowry of a girl who's married for the first time. This, as I told you back in the introduction, is the basis of the shita d'oraisa, that shita that the origins of ksubar midoraisa. In any case, the point over here is that the one who seduces this woman either marries her, or he has to instead give her the equivalent of what would be the ksuva payments if they don't get married, meaning 50 shkalim, as learned out from the connection to the parsha over there by the Ones, which is learned to be the same 50 shkalim, is learned to be how much the normal ksuba is for a girl. Again, the Torah's shekel is the equivalent of the Mishnah's sela, and there are four dinar or zuz to one sela, so that means that 50 shkalim of the Torah is the same as 200 zuz of the Mishnah. Okay, now, here the Mishnah says differences between the two situations, between the mefate and the ones. The Mishnah says, ha-mefate, if one, you know, seduced the girl, but she consented to sleeping with him, then nosten shlosha devarim, he has to pay three different payments. Va-ones, in contrast, the one who actually rapes the girl, arba, he has to pay four different payments. Ha-mefate nosten boshes ufagam ukanas, the mefate, the seducer, he pays three payments, which are boshes, paying for her humiliation, pagam, her, I'll call it depreciation, and her kanas, that's the arbitrary penalty of the 50 shkalim. The basic chiddush here is that the kanas alone doesn't cover the other payments. There is an addition to having to pay for her, like the fixed amount of the 50 shkalim. In addition, he has to pay for her boshes, her humiliation, and her pagam, her depreciation. Those calculations we'll say over in a few, we'll explain more in a couple of Mishnahs from now. But the point is that the kanas itself is not enough. He did something else wrong. So besides from the penalty, he also has to make compensation for doing this to her, like any time you assault or batter a person, and therefore he has to pay for the boshes and pagam. Umosif alav ones shenosin esetzar. In addition to those payments of the boshes, pagam, and kanas, when it comes to the rapist, he also has to pay tsar. He has to pay for the pain, the physical pain that he caused this woman. Of course, there's no physical pain if she consents, or whatever it is doesn't count. She consented to it, so that's fine. You see from here again that that's additional to the kanas, and at all events, the basic implication of this Mishnah is that ripui and shevis, medical bills and unemployment compensation, are not anticipated by the Mishnah and therefore wouldn't be payable in either scenario. So now the Mishnah says we're going to contrast the halachas of the onus to the mefata. Ma bein onus the mefata. What are the differences in terms of dinim between the onus and the mefata, whether it was against her will or with her consent? Ha'onas nosinus atzar. First of all, as I just pointed out, as the Mishnah pointed out, the onus, he calls her pain, therefore he has to compensate her for the pain in addition. V'mafata eino nosinus atzar. There's no tzar payment by the mafata because she consented. Ha'onas nosin miyad. The onus, since he's not going to, he has to pay the father now the kanas immediately, in addition to the other payments, is all done now. But mafata l'kshiyotzi, the mafata doesn't pay the kanas necessarily immediately. L'kshiyotzi, when she goes out, now that usually means in other contexts when they get divorced. And here too would be true that if he marries her and then divorces her, you'd pay that 200 zuz in the place of the kanas at that time. But here, l'kshiyotzi, when she goes out, also can mean that she goes out of the whole parsha of this whole ugly scenario in the event that they opt not to get married. In such a scenario, if because both he and she can choose not to get married, but if either or both decide not to get married, so then when she sort of leaves the din Torah right then and there, he'd have to pay the kanas of the 50 shkalim. Ha'ona shosa batito v'mafata imratza lahotzi motzi. The onus, he now is stuck literally drinking from his flower pot, and atzitz means like a flower pot in which you put flowers in, and that's used numerous times throughout the Shas. But Mafata, he imratza lahotzi motzi, if he doesn't want to get married to her or he wants to divorce her after a time, he's allowed to get rid of her and divorce her. Whereas when it comes to the onus, he's stuck with her and he has to marry her if she wants to be married, and he can't divorce her against her will. Now the word atzitz is a little awkward. It's obviously metaphorical, referring to her as a flower pot. The Bartanura learns, like the Rambam, that it's referring to something that's disgusting. Bakli ma'us, says the Bartanura, a disgusting thing he's stuck with. And we'll see more about that in a moment in the next Mishnah. If she happens to be disgusting, he's stuck with her. The Tos Yontov doesn't like that because an atzitz is just a flower pot. It's not especially disgusting. Although I personally wouldn't want to drink my water out of a flower pot, to be honest. In any case, he pushed away from the implication that she's disgusting and just saying she is what she is. He's stuck with whatever it is. Worth noting, there is a Gemara in Megillah, in the Bavli Megillah Tezayin Amud Aleph, which refers to a chamber pot, like which one would urinate in the room before flushing toilets, as an atzitz. So according to that usage in the Gemara there, certainly atzitz is a dover mos, a disgusting thing he has to drink out of. Okay. In any case, more in the next Mishnah about these matters.